Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha bat Shlomo, Pesach ben Dov, Meir ben Yecheskel, and Yosef ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers this week, of course we're going to speak about tomorrow's presidential election, a very important historic event. For 6 long years, JTF has done everything possible to warn the American people and to warn the Jews of Israel about the danger of Barack Hussein Obama, this Muslim, anti-white, anti-Jewish, anti-American, racist, evil monstrosity that disgracefully was elected to the presidency 4 years ago. And ever since he was elected 4 years ago, despite the fact that we warned at that time that it would be a disaster and we tried to defeat him at that time. Ever since he was elected then, we have been trying to warn Americans and Israelis and anyone who would listen about the danger of this evil Muslim Jew hater getting reelected to a second term where he'll never have to face the voters again. Tomorrow we're going to find out if he does get reelected to a second term. God forbid. I want to urge all of our great JTFers to do a number of things in order to defeat Barack Hussein Obama. If you believe the polls, Obama is going to win. If you believe the polls in the swing states, Obama has enough leads in the polls, or he's running even or ahead in enough polls to win the 270 electoral votes that you need to get elected, if you believe the polls. On the other hand, Republicans have been stating that they believe that the polls oversample Democrats and that they see tremendous enthusiasm, which there is. There is tremendous enthusiasm from the Romney campaign and a tremendous desire by huge numbers of Americans who support Mitt Romney to defeat Barack Hussein Obama. And so they believe that their enthusiasm and they believe that their strong will to win this election will produce a bigger turnout in the end and that the polls are not reflecting that. We're going to find out. We're going to find out tomorrow. But before we do, I just want to say that there are a number of things that we should be doing. First of all, obviously, everyone in JTF who has not already voted should vote themselves. Every one of us should vote. And it doesn't matter what state you live in, even if you don't live in a swing state, it's important who wins the popular vote as well. The popular vote doesn't decide who wins the presidency, but it's important in terms of legitimacy. If a president is elected, even though he didn't get a majority of the popular vote, even though most Americans didn't vote for him, which is what happened with George W. Bush in 2000, there is a shadow of illegitimacy that hangs over his presidency. And it does hurt him as he tries to govern. And so we want Mitt Romney to win the popular vote, no matter what. So even if you live in New York or California or New Jersey or Massachusetts or one of these other states, which Barack Hussein Obama is going to win, he's going to carry those states. Or if you live in states in the South, which Mitt Romney is going to carry anyway, it's still important to vote. We want to defeat Barack Hussein Obama in the popular vote. It's also important that you make sure your friends and relatives and neighbors, anyone you know whom you think you can persuade, make sure they get out and vote for Mitt Romney. I mean, this is something that we should try to do. All of us should try to do this. We should try to make a difference to the best of our ability. As you know, we have produced many, many videos, the highest quality videos, trying to defeat Obama. Hundreds of thousands of people have seen our videos. Hundreds of thousands of voters have seen our videos. And so we certainly try to make the case as best we could with our limited budget. Whether or not it's in the end going to have an influence or an impact, who knows? But we were obligated not to be silent. We were obligated to do everything we can. We were obligated to speak out and try our best. We're never obligated to succeed. You can't guarantee you're going to succeed when you try to do something good. You're not obligated to succeed, but you are obligated to try. Of course, when you try something, you want to try something that you think has a chance of succeeding. You don't want to waste your time if you know in advance it's going to fail. But in a situation like this, we certainly had an obligation to speak out. We certainly had an obligation to warn people. We certainly had an obligation to try to wake people up. And we'll see what the results are tomorrow. We'll see what comes of this. Also, we need people to pray. It's very important for people to pray. To pray to God that Mitt Romney win the election. God can do all types of amazing things. Let's pray to God as well. Our prayers are important. Maybe God will have mercy upon us if he hears our prayers. Who knows? Now, having said that, I do want to add that, as I said last week, I think we have a lot to be proud of as JTFers. We have an awful lot to be proud of. You saw how hard we tried. You saw all the videos we put up. You saw the high quality of the videos we put up. You saw dozens and dozens of videos that we kept putting up during the course of this campaign on every possible subject. The type of videos that if Mitt Romney or the independent PACs had run those videos, I assure you, the election wouldn't even be close. We would defeat Obama. Yes, the news media would scream and yell and say, how can you say that? And this is terrible. And this is McCarthyism and racism and all the other lies, because our videos are telling the truth. Our videos are not saying something that isn't true or that's smearing Obama. Our videos merely stated facts about his background as a Muslim, as a Jew hater, as a white hater, as a racist. Our videos were very factual. And to try to prevent the truth from reaching the American people, there's no question that the news media and the Obama campaign and the Democrats would have been screaming bloody murder, and even the establishment Republicans would have been uncomfortable with that. But it doesn't matter. The majority of the American people, in the end, would not have wanted to vote for this character, for this creature, if they really knew what he represents and what he stands for. They don't know what he represents and what he stands for after the campaign that we've seen. They do not know who Barack Hussein Obama is. They think he's a liberal who spends too much money and is running up the budget deficit. They think that his programs like Obamacare are a form of socialism and that he apologizes for the United States and that he's appeasing the Muslims. That is not who he is. He's not appeasing the Muslims. He is a Muslim. He's on their side. And it's easily provable. Our videos did prove that. But the American people, the vast majority of American voters, never got to see that. And they will cast their ballots without ever having seen that. Also, even his record on the economy, he was not hit as hard as he should have been hit. His record on the economy is dismal. Disastrous. But the Romney campaign played it safe, was politically correct. I support Mitt Romney. We all support him. And we'll be discussing this more after the election. But I have no doubt that if they had decided to hit Obama the way Obama was hitting Romney, I have no doubt that the results of the election, whatever results we get tomorrow, no matter who wins, the results would have been much more positive for Romney if he had hit Obama harder. In any event, I still hope that the Romney people, because of their enthusiasm and because of their zeal and because of the desire of many people to defeat Obama, I'm hoping that we can still prove the polls wrong and that we can still somehow miraculously pull out a victory tomorrow. I haven't lost hope, and none of us should lose hope, even though if you believe the polls, we're going to lose. But there have been times in history when polls have been wrong in elections, in certain elections. So this is, you know, to give up and throw our hands up would be a mistake. We've got to keep trying to the last minute to do everything we can to defeat Barack Hussein Obama. Now, having said that, I want to say that we have to never forget, when we get those results tomorrow, that JTF is going to be more important on Wednesday than it was before the election. Never will JTF be more important than after this election. If, God forbid, Obama wins, JTF is needed now more than ever to wake the people of Israel up and prevent them from giving in to Obama's pressure to commit suicide, and to wake up Americans to resist Obama's policies. As difficult a task as that's going to be, we're going to continue the fight if Obama, God forbid, is reelected. If Mitt Romney is elected, God willing, we still have a tremendous amount of things to do, tremendous amount of work to do with both America and Israel, with both our English and our Hebrew movements, in order to ensure that the Iranian nuclear threat is taken care of, which is very far from certain, no matter who wins, and in order to ensure that Israel does not do insane, suicidal things on her own, even if Romney doesn't pressure Israel. We know, we saw in Gush Katif, and we saw with the Oslo agreements, the self-hating, crazy, anti-Semitic Jews who run Israel are capable on their own of doing all types of crazy things. Sometimes they don't even need foreign pressure to do it. Of course, if there is also foreign pressure, that makes it much worse, which is why we wanted, one of the main reasons we wanted Obama to be defeated. But in any event, JTF is needed more than ever. And you are all witnesses. You in our movement are witnesses to the fact that we put together a very, very good, well-presented, professional, intelligent, and logical message. And you know in your heart that this would be a better world if huge numbers of people would see that message. If only millions and tens of millions would be exposed to that message, you know that this would be a better world. You saw with your own eyes that our videos were good videos and our message was important. And you realize, you JTFers realize how important it is that we eventually catch a break so that we can reach massive numbers of people, far greater than the hundreds of thousands that we've reached. Far greater. And so we need your help more than ever. We need you to be active. We need you to help us when we put up videos in English and in Hebrew after the election. And we're going to need you. We're going to need your financial support. Now more than ever, we need your financial support. We need checks and money orders and cash donations, and we need people to go online with their credit cards and help us with their credit cards if that's what you prefer, or send it through the mail. You know better than anyone what a difference it makes and how effective our message is with such a limited budget, so it's so obvious that if only we had more resources and if only we had more support, think of what we could do. So we need your support. We need your help. We need your ideas. We need your support. We need you active on the forum. We need you helping us spread the word with the videos. We need all of these things. And we need your financial support. We need all of that to make a difference. This is going to be the moment of truth. After the election, that's when everything, that's when all the real dangerous stuff starts, no matter who wins. Because that's when policies are going to be implemented. So that's the time when we need you to be active. More than ever, we need you to be active after the election. Now, I know that if we lose on Tuesday, God forbid, if Obama's reelected, we're going to be depressed for a while. It's going to take us a while. It's going to take a while to sink in. I mean, you all know that nobody worked harder than I did on this. I mean, you know, you have no idea how much time I put into all of those videos and how many sleepless nights I spent doing my best to get the message out, trying to make a difference. So I certainly will be disappointed, but we have to go on and we have to keep fighting. We can't stop. We can't afford to. Maybe we could take a day or two off to sort of try to get over the disappointment and the shock, but we've got to move pretty quickly if that happens. On the other hand, if Romney wins, we're going to be in a very good mood. We're all going to be happy. And I even, you know, if Romney wins, I even think we should have some sort of online, I don't know how you do it, but I'd like to have some sort of online party or celebration with our members. I think we deserve it. Because for 6 years, we've been fighting so hard. I'd like to figure out some way, maybe we can have some sort of online celebration. I wish I could celebrate with all the great JTFers and meet all of you in person. Because you're all great people. And you know how much I love our great members. But I hope, at least maybe online, maybe we could have some sort of party or celebration if Romney wins. Because, it's not, he's not the Messiah. And it's not going to be the end of all of our problems. Far from it. But it'll be a big relief. If he wins, it'll be a big relief. We'll see. The next 24 or 36 hours will tell us a lot. We'll learn a lot in the next day or so. In the meantime, I also want to remind people, there are other elections out there, of course. Generally speaking, people should vote Republican. Generally speaking. I don't like the Republicans. In fact, I can't stand the Republicans. But the Democrats are worse, are much worse. And so generally speaking, people should vote Republican, but there are exceptions. Look at Chris Christie. Look what he did. The governor of New Jersey, that filthy traitor. He's done everything he can to help Obama get reelected. He did about 20 national television interviews calling Obama wonderful, great, magnificent, caring, a good leader. I mean, this is what he's saying a few days before a very close election. He's praising him to the high heavens. It's so obvious that he is trying to sabotage Mitt Romney and trying to elect Barack Hussein Obama, and he's a so-called Republican. So you see that there are certain type of Republicans who actually do more damage than Democrats. If a Democrat had been governor of New Jersey, we wouldn't have had this problem because a Democrat praising Obama wouldn't have been very newsworthy. But when that traitor, Chris Christie, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, did it, we saw the damage that it did. And so there are exceptions. 99% of the time, we'll tell you we will support Republicans. 99% of the time. But the 1% when there are Republicans who are so bad that they can really cause even worse damage than Democrats, we should be wise enough to oppose those types of traitor Republicans. For instance, I opened up a thread about Dan Halloran, who's running in the 6th Congressional District in New York against Grace Meng. Now, Grace Meng is the Democrat candidate. She's a Democrat. She supports Obama. So, of course, she's an evil pig. Anyone who supports Obama and running as a Democrat, these are evil people. They're part of an evil, disgusting ideology and party. But Dan Halloran, her Republican opponent, is even worse. He will do more damage than she will. Why? Because she would just be another Democrat congressman or congressperson or whatever you want to call it, congressman, congresswoman, congressperson. She'll be another one out of the couple of hundred evil Democrats in the House, which is bad, no question about it, but she'll just be another one. Whereas Dan Halloran, who supported Ron Paul, the Nazi, for president, if he wins as the Republican candidate for Congress in New York City, that will give a new stronghold, a new foothold to the Ron Paul, Rand Paul forces of evil. And that will be a disaster. Dan Halloran is not only a supporter of the Nazi Ron Paul. Dan Halloran is an Odinist. He has accepted the pagan, satanic religion that the German Nazis believed in, that Hitler and the German Nazis believed in during the Holocaust. They were Odinists. He chose the religion, the pagan religion, of the German Nazis. I mean, and he has no excuse. I mean, he was raised as a Catholic and he left Catholicism to become a pagan Odinist. I mean, how can people not understand how dangerous it is to have something like that in Congress being given legitimacy? That's what you're going to legitimize by electing somebody like that? It'd be terrible. Now, he has in his district an unusually large number of Orthodox Jews, Russian Jews, and Israelis. So the Jews in his district are actually conservative politically, most of them. Most of them are going to vote for Mitt Romney. They're not like the Jews in certain parts of the country that are leftists. These Jews are actually politically conservative. The Orthodox Jews overwhelmingly support Mitt Romney. The Russian Jews, those Israelis that became American citizens, they overwhelmingly will vote for Mitt Romney because they still have a connection to Judaism. It's the assimilated, self-hating, intermarried Jews that, generally speaking, are leftists and support Obama. But the Jews with a strong Jewish identity overwhelmingly support Mitt Romney. And so those are the type of Jews that live in the 6th Congressional District. So Dan Halloran knows that he has to pretend he's pro-Israel if he's going to win. He must get that vote. He must get those Jewish votes in order to win in that district. Because most of the non-Jewish voters in that district are Democrats. So he's got to get the Jewish vote to win. So he's been aggressively pretending that he's pro-Israel. He says, I don't agree with Ron Paul's position on Israel. Well, he supported him for president. He's an Odinist. And all of a sudden he claims that on the issue of Israel, he disagrees with Ron Paul. He's a liar. He does that because he needs those Jewish votes in the district. It's obvious he's a liar. I urge people to vote for Grace Meng. In this case, the Democrat, as bad as she is, it's better to have a Democrat in Congress, as bad as she is, than to have an Odinist, Ron Paul-supporting Republican traitor, a Jew hater, someone who supports for president, the same Ron Paul that says that he has no problem with Iran getting nuclear bombs, who compared Israel to the Nazis, who supported and endorsed Muslim terrorism, and excused and defended Muslim terrorism on Iranian, official Iranian terrorist television. We did a video showing Ron Paul doing this. And who supports open borders, and who supports allowing the third world hordes to invade and take over the United States. You know, to support that and allow that to become a major part of the Republican Party is insane. Insane to allow that. Anyway, that's my view. And the only thing I can say again is before we get to the questions, get involved with us, and please, we need your prayers. Pray for Mitt Romney to win on Tuesday, and pray for JTF to succeed. We need your prayers too, so that we can wake people up. And we need your support. We need your financial support. People can go to the Donate Now button on our English main page and on our Hebrew main page, on hayamin.org and on jtf.org. And of course, people can also send us their support in the mail. We need it now. We've really got to start moving. We have an Israeli election for the Knesset coming up on January 22nd. We want to make our voices heard loud and clear to the people of Israel, warning them about how there has to be resistance to any further expulsions, warning them about all the issues that we've dealt with and that you're familiar with as great JTFers. And we're going to begin an English video campaign as well, which I think our members will be impressed with. But the more you help us, and the more you get involved with us, the more we can do. So let's hope and pray tomorrow. Pray to God. Let's hope and pray. Do everything you can do. Also, make sure you vote. Make sure your friends and neighbors and everybody else get out and vote for Mitt Romney. Let's do what we can to make a difference. And after the election, we're going to continue fighting to make a difference, God willing, to make this a better world. Anyway, let's get now to our questions from our great members. And we start off with the great Say No to Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Who do you think is worse, Muslims or Russians, and why?" Unquote. Well, it's a different situation. I mean, the Muslims are trying to conquer the world and destroy the world. For Islam, they want for the world. If the world is taken over by Muslims, that's destroying the world. The world isn't worth living in. The Muslims are trying to take over the world, and they hate and want to exterminate all non-Muslims. So their ideology is, of course, very dangerous. Russia supports the Muslims. Russia supports those Muslims that are trying to destroy America and Israel. Russia is the main source for Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. The Russians are the ones that are playing the biggest role in helping the Iranians build their nuclear bombs. Russia protects the Iranians. Russia also plays a very, very bad role in almost every other conflict in the world because they want to tear down the United States. They want to be a superpower again, and they view the United States as a competitor. And they've always been anti-Semitic, and they hate Israel as well. So both the Russia and the Muslim world have both set themselves up as enemies of decent people. If you care about the future of America and Israel, the Muslim world and Russia have set themselves up as enemies. Who's worse? Who's better? You know, I don't know. I think the Muslims are probably an even greater threat, but Russia is helping them. So they're both a threat. Anyway, thank you very much. Say no to Islam. And now we go to Yimach Shmo to Obama, another great JTFer. Yimach Shmo to Obama writes, and I quote, "Is Hurricane Sandy a wake-up call from God to warn the people about Obama?" Unquote. I think it is. I absolutely think it's one of the things. I think it's one of the things that God is warning America about. I also, and by the way, you know, Pat Robertson and all these Christian ministers who said that Katrina was punishment because of homosexuality and abortion, they are right. They are right. God is angry with America for many reasons. America elected an abomination to be president of the United States 4 years ago. That was a terrible crime, a terrible sin, and may tomorrow, God forbid, but tomorrow may re-elect him, showing that they just refuse to learn. That's going to bring terrible punishment upon the United States if that happens. And then, in addition to that, the United States pressures Israel to commit suicide, going against God's people in the Holy Land, when the Bible warns over and over again not to dare touch the Jewish people and not to dare go against them. And then you have tens of millions of abortions in this country since Roe v. Wade in 1973. Tens of millions of babies have been slaughtered. And now all these states are legalizing so-called gay marriage. These things are abominations to God. And there are consequences. The Bible doesn't bluff. God is not bluffing in the Bible when he warns against these things. Some people apparently think this is just a bluff, that the Bible's just a nice little storybook. Oh, what a mistake that is. The Bible is not bluffing and God doesn't bluff. If God allows the United States to have gay marriage, God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He'd have to say he's sorry to Sodom and Gomorrah for destroying them because of this. Empires and nations have been destroyed because of this. And aborting little babies as a form of birth control? Does anyone really think that God will excuse murdering little babies? So I do think, yes, I think when things like this happen, we have to ask ourselves, why is this happening? Absolutely. Absolutely. And Obama is one of the reasons, because Obama is a symbol of evil. On every issue, he represents evil. So we better, you know, if people don't wake up, how many people wake up and understand this when these types of things happen? Not enough. Not enough, unfortunately. Let's hope that changes. Anyway, thank you, Yimach Shmo to Obama. And now the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason and common sense and logic. The great Dr. Dan writes, and I quote, "What makes Noam Federman a better and truer Kahanist compared to other higher-profiled Israelis and politicians?" Unquote. He is a true Kahanist, and he is a saint because he's true to his principles, because he stands for something and believes in something and doesn't give up. And by the way, I have differences of opinion with him sometimes on some issues. I don't even want to go into it, but I have a difference of opinion with him on a particular issue that came up recently. And the reason I don't want to go into it is because I don't want to disagree with Noam Federman. He's such a saint. But That doesn't matter that I have a difference of opinion with him. I know that he is so righteous and such a good person and such a wonderful human being and such a wonderful Jew that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He really is a truly sincere, wonderful person and someone that we should be looking up to. He is an example of what we should look up to. And he should be a leader of the Jewish people. Anyway, thank you so much, Dr. Dan. Great question. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Do you own the Sefer Perush HaMakabi by Rav Kahana? If so, can you say over some teachings from it? If not, then some other Dvar Torah from Rabbi Kahana," unquote. I certainly do have Perush HaMakabi from Harav Kahana. It's a great book. Of course, I have it in Hebrew. I don't know. Do they have it in English, Perush HaMakabi? I don't know if it was. I don't know. Was that book translated into English? I don't know if it was. I mean, I have it. Of course, I have it in Hebrew. And let me see. Think of a Dvar Torah from Harav Kahana. I've got to think about this. Dvar Torah from Harav Kahana. Well, we could think of next week's parasha is going to be Chayei Sarah. Chayei Sarah, it says that, it tells us that we see that Sarah lived, it mentions twice that she lived a certain number of years, that she lived a long life. It says twice, it mentions it twice. Now, nothing is ever repeated for the sake of repetition in the Torah. There's always a reason. If something's repeated, there's always a reason. Why does this have to be repeated twice? Why do we have a repetition twice when it speaks about the lives of Avraham Avinu, Abraham our father, or the lives of Adam, Harishon, Adam? Why is it repeated twice when it tells us what their age is and how they lived? Because the rabbis teach us, and Rabbi Kahana is the one who taught me this and who taught his followers this, the Talmud teaches us that a righteous person is someone who is truly alive, who truly lives. If someone does not fulfill their God-given purpose in life, it is as if they're dead. It's as if they're not living. Technically, they're living. Yeah, they're eating and they're sleeping and they're drinking and they're doing other things and they're supposedly functioning and going to work every day. But they're not really living. They're not really alive. The fact that they're eating and sleeping and drinking and breathing, that means they're alive. Animals do that too. Human beings are supposed to be above that. Human beings, not that there's anything wrong with animals, but that's the limit of what animals are capable of doing. Human beings are supposed to be working to make this a better world and learning and growing and helping other people learn and grow. Avraham Avinu. It's mentioned twice what his age is and how long he lived. And it's mentioned twice about Adam Harishon, his age and how long he lived. Not to be repetitious, but to show that they really lived. That they exploited every moment of their life to do good. That they understood that we're in this world for a very limited time and we've got to use our time to do what is good and what is right. They understood that. And so they truly lived. In fact, we're taught that when a righteous person, a true righteous, when a tzaddik, a truly righteous person dies, he doesn't really die. Physically he dies, but his soul lives on. And not only that, the things that he did in this world live on. Even in this world he remains alive, in that his children or people that he touched in his life, they continue his righteousness, his deeds, his influence continues to live on even after he's in the grave, even after he physically has left this world. His spiritual influence continues on, generation after generation. He made a mark. And that mark doesn't disappear. He made a positive mark in the world, a positive influence, and it doesn't disappear. And so, what this teaches us is that we have to aspire to exploit every moment we're in this world, to accomplish great things, to make this a better world, to do what Hashem commands us to do what our mission in this world is. All of us have a higher calling. All of us have a special purpose in life. All of us have a special reason why God put us in this world, and all of us are called upon to fulfill that mission in life. If we don't, it's as if we're dead. If we do to a certain extent, then we're doing it to a certain extent. But if we do it to the fullest extent, then we're truly living. And then even when we die, we will live on. Even when we die, when the righteous die, they still live on because the influence that they had on the world continues. And of course, they come back when we have resurrection of the dead, Techiyat HaMetim. That obviously happens. But even before then, they live on. Their influence lives on. That's one of the things that Rabbi Kahana taught me. One of the Divrei Torah from Harav Kahana. Anyway, thank you, Tag Mechir. And now we go to the great LKZ, who writes, and I quote, Shalom. Why didn't Rabbi Kahana let you protest the Black Panthers? Unquote. Okay, let's start with that. We have two separate questions here, so we'll start with that. Because I was too young. I was only 14 years old. And actually, when the first big protest took place at the Black Panther headquarters, I think it was on 137th Street in Harlem, I was only 13 years old at the time. And I wasn't in JDL yet when I was 13. I first joined when I was 14. But when I was 14, they had more protests and more confrontations. Rabbi Kahana did not want 13, 14-year-old kids to come to these confrontations because they were dangerous, because sometimes the confrontations got physical. And Rabbi Kahana didn't think that kids, the 13, 14-year-old kids, were old enough to be involved in those types of confrontations. I wanted to go. I thought it would be fine. I wanted to go. But, you know, now looking back upon it, I realize that a 14-year-old kid is probably too young to be involved in that. And Rabbi Kahana, as usual, was right. LKZ now writes, opinions of Eric Allen Bell and his attempt to make a mass movement, unquote. I don't know enough about him, LKZ. I don't know enough about him, and I don't know enough about what his plans are. So I can't comment. I just don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. I mean, I know that he's a critic of Islam, which, of course, is good. But I don't know what he plans to do or what his interest is, or I have no idea. So I can't comment positively or negatively if I don't know enough. Anyway, thank you very much, LKZ. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, what do you think will be the impact of Hurricane Sandy on Tuesday's presidential election? Who will benefit more, BHO or Mitt Romney, unquote? I think so far Obama's the one who's benefiting because of Chris Christie, because of the traitor governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie. He has turned this into a benefit for Barack Hussein Obama by touring the Jersey Shore with him and complimenting him over and over again and doing numerous interviews on all the national TV shows. Good Morning America. I mean, you name it. He did all the morning shows, each of them have several million viewers. He was interviewed on all the news programs and all the national news programs and did all the local interviews as well, praising Obama effusively. Because he calls himself a Republican and claims to be a Mitt Romney surrogate and a Mitt Romney supporter, when he was praising Obama like this, obviously it became big news. And he did it deliberately. He wants Obama to win because he wants to run for president in 2016. And he can't. If Romney gets elected, he can't run in 2016. Not only that, he would even have a hard time running in 2020 if Romney wins, because if Romney wins, the front runner in 2020, after 8 years of Mitt Romney, the front runner in 2020 would be Vice President Paul Ryan. So, I mean, the front runner for the Republican presidential nomination would probably be Vice President Paul Ryan. So he knows that this is going to create a real problem for his presidential ambitions, and so he very much wants Obama to win. And he has turned this into a big advantage, in my opinion, or an advantage for Obama. And since the election is so close, any advantage, I mean, the election was, they were tied in the polls, so any advantage for one of the candidates was big. in the end, if God forbid, if Obama, God forbid, wins, one of the people that we could thank for that will be that animal, Chris Christie, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And remember, EB, we warned about him. Remember, I did special videos warning Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney nearly picked him as his running mate. I remember I did a special video warning about that, and we warned and warned and warned. Look at how we were right. Once again, we were proven right. Before anybody else saw this, when all the Republicans and the conservatives were praising Chris Christie, we were saying he's a liar, a fraud, a traitor, a backstabber. Watch out for the snake. And look how right we were. Look how wrong all the experts and all the Republicans and all the establishment people and all the politicians, all wrong. We were right. So hopefully that'll, at least with our fellow JTFers, I think that they know already that we have a track record of being right on these issues. And, you know, hopefully that'll give us more credibility with people when we make these warnings in the future. Anyway, thank you, EB. And now we go to the great Meir Kat, who is Baruch Hashem now in Israel and is active on both of our forums, the Hebrew and the English forums. The great Meir Kat writes, and I quote, Shalom, is Haaretz the Hebrew edition of Der Strumer, or was Der Strumer the German version of Haaretz? Unquote. Either way you want it, Meir Kat, Haaretz is a newspaper that is so viciously anti-Semitic. I mean, it literally is a newspaper that wants to destroy their own people. Haaretz, you read Haaretz, people shouldn't read it, they shouldn't give them any, they should, certainly shouldn't buy the newspaper, God forbid, or advertise in it. But you read Haaretz, it's like reading sophisticated Muslim terrorist propaganda, except that they do the propaganda for the Muslim terrorists far better than the Muslims themselves are capable of doing. All they do is do everything they can to undermine Israel, undermine the Jews, and promote all of the enemies of the Jewish people, and promote as much as they can. Everything bad for the Jewish people, they promote. Everything bad, you name it. The Muslim terrorists, they just endorsed, by the way, Barack Hussein Obama. Haaretz had an editorial endorsing Barack Hussein Obama, the English edition. They had an editorial endorsing him and urging American Jews to vote for Obama, saying that Obama is good for Israel. So, I mean, you know, they're so evil. They're such an abomination. This is the media of Israel that we're fighting against. Anyway, thank you so much, Meir Kat, for bringing that up. And now we have a new member called Catnip. Catnip, welcome to our forum. Welcome. Catnip writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what was your experience like during Hurricane Sandy, unquote. Okay, good question. Thankfully, I did not lose electricity. I had, I had flashing back and forth. The electricity flashed off and on, but I did not completely lose my electricity, which is something that did happen to millions of people. That thankfully did not happen to me. And I had some damage to wires and other things outside. You know, I have wires and other things that are not actually directly on my house, but they're, you know, there are poles outside with wires all the way up, and the wind did do some damage. So, we had to have people come over and they had to repair it. So there was a little damage, and it made a mess. It did make a mess, and there was some damage. But other than that, I personally got by without too many problems, and so did other people in my family. Unfortunately, many other people, though, suffered terrible, terrible, tragic destruction and devastation from Hurricane Sandy. It was really, really sad seeing some good people suffering, including some people that I know who really had some very serious problems as a result of Hurricane Sandy. And, I'm very sorry about that. And, of course, we have to pray for them. Anyway, thank you very much, Catnip. And now we go to the great Brennan fan, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, if Rick Santorum had been the GOP nominee, what might our race look like at the moment? Unquote. Great question. I don't know. Brennan fan, I don't know. My favorite candidate, I mean, I liked Rick Santorum better than Mitt Romney, as you know. I would have preferred Rick Santorum over Mitt Romney. My favorite candidate was Mike Huckabee, and still is Mike Huckabee. I think Rick Santorum was better. I don't know if he would have been a better candidate in terms of electability. That I don't know. But I do know that in terms of his philosophy and his ideology, that he was certainly better, in my opinion, than Romney. Romney, again, is much better than Barack Hussein Obama, but he's an establishment guy, and there are problems with him. Rick Santorum is more would be more to the liking of JTFers. We would have preferred him. Anyway, let's hope that we don't have to start asking these questions with bitterness after the election on Tuesday. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope that Romney wins the election after all, God willing. Anyway, thank you, Brennan Fan. And now we go to the great Chai, who writes, and I quote, Shalom. A Dvar Torah, please, on this week's parasha, Todah, unquote. Okay, Chai, I'm glad you asked. And this week's parasha is Parashat Vayera. Vayera is what we call the parasha on the Akedah. The Akedah is Avraham being willing to sacrifice Yitzchak, Abraham willing to sacrifice Isaac. How does this story unfold? What do we know about this story? We know that Avraham is going through all types of difficult tests. God puts him through all types of difficult tests, and he passes every test with flying colors. But then he does something that is very displeasing to God. He signs a brit, a covenant. He makes a covenant with Avimelech. Avimelech is the king of the Philistines. And he makes a covenant with Avimelech, in effect granting him legitimacy and recognition in Eretz Yisrael. As if the Philistines have some sort of legitimacy or recognizable rights in the land of Israel, which they don't. This was a very serious sin in the eyes of God. And so immediately after he does that, and the rabbis all are unanimous about this, that there's a connection here, Hashem punishes Avraham with a very brutal test. Hashem says to him, you're going to have to sacrifice your son. Now, you know, this is a very brutal test, but Hashem is in effect saying to him, look, I gave you Yitzchak, your son, Isaac, Yitzchak, so that you could inherit the land of Israel, so that you could be a light unto the nations, a holy nation, nation of priests, and fight against evil. If you're not willing to do that, if you want to sign covenants with these people and give evil people legitimacy in the land of Israel, you're not going to do that, then you won't need the son, so I want him back. That's in effect what God said. Give him back to me. And so this was really a form of punishment. And it's a sign of what would eventually come. Now God, of course, in the end stopped Avraham from sacrificing Yitzchak. He sent an angel to stop him and to save Yitzchak. And Yitzchak did go on to become a father of the Jewish people. And then after Yitzchak, we have Yaakov. We have three fathers of the Jewish people. We have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Because Avraham represents chesed. He represents kindness and compassion. He's just all kindness and compassion. Yitzchak represents din. He represents judgment and emet and truth. He's truth and judgment, Yitzchak. So we have Avraham representing kindness and compassion. Then his son Yitzchak represents judgment and truth. And Yaakov, the third father, the third generation, he represents both. He's a mix of both Avraham and Yitzchak. He's both kindness and judgment, both truth and mercy, both justice and mercy. And of course, that's the perfect mix that eventually gives us. Then from him come the 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, and that's how the Jewish people are created from that legacy. But before then, we get this sign of what is yet to come. Because the sacrifice of Yitzchak, the fact that Avraham was told to sacrifice his son, is a sign of what would yet come. The Jews sacrificing their sons, and their sons losing their lives because of their covenants with Jew haters and with those who claim parts of Eretz Yisrael. We see this in our own day with the Oslo Accords. Anyone who tries to give legitimacy to the enemies of the Jewish people brings bloodshed and rivers of death and destruction, rivers of blood and death and destruction upon the Jewish people. Anyone who denies the Jewish right to the entire land of Israel, when Jews do this, it brings death and destruction upon the Jewish people. There's also the symbolism, why was Avraham so praised and so beloved when he was willing to pass this test and willing to make the sacrifice? And there's symbolism in that as well, a sign of what would yet come. Because the actions of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are signs for the children. We, the Jewish people, eventually play out a national version of what happened to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You might wonder, what's so relevant? Why does the Bible spend so much time talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rivka? What is all this? What is all this time on? They went here, they went there, they did this, they did that. What is this? Why is this so important that the Bible spends so much time? Because what they did is what will happen to the Jewish people on the national level. That's why it's so important. The actions of the fathers are a sign for the sons and for their children. The children now being the Jewish people as a whole. And so we see that in the end, that the Jews would be called upon to sacrifice their children in wars or refusing to convert when under the threat of convert or die, convert or be murdered. We saw that many times the Jews would, in fact, have to sacrifice their children. Something that did happen in history. And so it was actually a sign of what would yet come. The willingness of Avraham to do it showed Hashem, showed God, that this was a people that would pass the test in the end and would survive. Would survive in the worst of circumstances and would be willing. There would be, Hashem saw that this is a people that would produce Jews eventually, would produce people, would produce men and women who would be willing to die rather than give up the Torah. Hashem saw that. And so, it's a very, very important story for the Jewish people in this week's parasha, the story of the Akedah, with many different implications, the Akedah again being the sacrifice. Akedah literally means the tying together because he had to tie Yitzchak. He had to tie Yitzchak down in order to sacrifice him. But there are many, many important morals and lessons to be learned from this incident. And if we learn all of those morals and lessons, then we will do what we as a people are supposed to do to bring redemption to the whole world. Anyway, thank you so much, Chai. And now we go to the great Ephraim, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim. Did the Oslo, Anders, Breivik incident help or hurt the right-wing movement? Was it premature? Unquote. I don't think it really had much of an effect on the right-wing movement. I don't know. I don't see any evidence that it had a tremendous effect. The people that Anders Breivik killed were evil people. They were members of a viciously anti-American, left-wing, anti-Semitic and anti-Israel political party and political movement in Israel. And you know, these are people who cheered when things like this happened to Jews. When Arab terrorists do this to Jews, these people are the first ones to cheer. They support the Arab terrorists. They support Islamic genocide against the Jewish people. When it happens to them, of course, they have a very different attitude about it. So it's just something to bear in mind. This incident, but I don't think that the incident had any profound effect one way or the other on the right-wing movement. I don't think it affected it very much either way. Anyway, thank you very much, Ephraim. And now we go to the great Confederate Kahanist, who writes, and I quote, I am not convinced that Romney will win Ohio. Just look at the polls and compare them to 08 and 04. I partly blame this on union white trash, unquote. Well, I agree with you that the unions are playing a major role. But Confederate Kahanas, we have another problem, because the unions were even bigger. You know, union membership is going down. The unions were actually bigger and stronger in past elections, and yet Republicans did win in Ohio. So what's happening right now? What's happening is a demographic change in the United States. The non-white population is increasing and increasing and increasing, and eventually you're going to have a situation where it's going to be impossible for Republicans to win anything. It's a nightmare, which is why controlling the borders and stopping this third world invasion is so essential. That's why it was always essential. That's why we always spoke about this issue. If you look at the JTF shows over the years, we've always spoken about that issue. It's absolutely essential. In Ohio, in the particular case of Ohio, unfortunately, I think you might be referring to the auto bailout issue and how that was distorted by the media. Confederate Kahanas, you know what the problem is with the auto bailout issue with Romney? Romney, of course, was right when he said that what he advocated doing in the auto bailout. But the problem is that we let the biased news media define these issues. We've allowed the biased news media to get away with this. And so they brainwashed a lot of voters in places like Ohio that Romney is bad and Obama's rescuing you. Imagine Obama's rescuing a black, Muslim, racist, anti-American piece of filth is going to rescue white people? He hates white people. He considers white people to be crackers. He said in his book that he hates the white part of him, the white blood that runs in him, because his mother was white, just like Malcolm X, that he identifies with Malcolm X saying that he hates the white blood in his veins. He despises these people. But nobody bothered to tell these people that. Nobody's telling them that. And that's a serious problem. That's a serious problem, because you got all these white working class people who are so stupid that they're willing to vote for a black, Muslim, racist, vicious hater who absolutely would like to cut their throats. That's the unbelievable thing here. It's absolutely incredible. But what can I say? Confederate Kahanas, you're a witness. You know we tried to get that message out. We did everything we could. I don't know if Romney, I don't know what's going to happen in Ohio with Romney and Obama. The polls, you're right that the polls, according to the polls, Obama's going to win in Ohio. That's what the polls say. We'll see. The Romney people claim they have this great enthusiasm. We'll see what happens, that the enthusiasm will lead to a bigger turnout and that the polls will be proven wrong. We're going to see what happens, but you may be right. You may be right, and if that's true, our allowing the news media to dictate the terms of the debate and not going after Obama the way we really should have. We should have, number one, we should have gone after Obama for being an anti-white racist, for being anti-American, for being a Muslim. We should have gone after him on all of those issues. That's number one. And number two, we should have, years ago, we should have started a boycott of all the news media. We should have hit them in the pocketbook and make it clear to them that we are not going to tolerate their biased, vicious, lying reporting, their propagandizing. Because this has been tolerated and because they get away with it, this is why we're in the situation that we're in today. I hope and pray that tomorrow, I hope you're wrong, Confederate Kahanas. I hope that, and I know that you hope you're wrong too, obviously. I hope somehow Romney pulls this off, God willing. But if he doesn't, we know why. Anyway, thank you, Confederate Kahanas. And now we go to the great Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, does Hashem want Obama to win re-election to punish humanity, unquote. I have no doubt, Maimonides, that Obama being in the White House is a punishment. Yes, it is a punishment. And if he's reelected, that's another punishment. I'm sorry to say, but yes, I do believe that. And I've always believed that. Bad things don't just happen. God controls everything that happens. Now, how we interpret it, that's another story. We got to be careful about how we interpret things. But this, for sure, a disaster like Obama in the White House, that for sure is a punishment. There's no doubt about that. Look what Hashem did in 2008 when Obama was running against McCain. They were running neck and neck in the polls, running even. And then we had the crash on Wall Street. You remember all the houses, all the brokerage houses started going bankrupt and there was panic. You remember what happened? And that ensured that Obama was going to win that election. So that was a punishment. I mean, God made sure that would happen just in time to get Obama in. That was a punishment. And you know, if he's reelected, I do believe that's another punishment. Yes, I do. Anyway, thank you, Maimonides. Let's hope that God, but we should pray to God to have mercy on us. Not that we deserve it. Not saying we deserve it. We don't deserve very much. But God is a loving God. We should pray for mercy and compassion and pray that he have pity on us and that he elect Mitt Romney and that he have pity on us in all areas and that he bring the final redemption. Amen. Anyway, thank you, Maimonides, and thank you to all of our great JTFers. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens this week. But in any event, you know we're going to be in the fight. Our fight won't end. Our fight goes on, and will continue until final redemption. We will never stop fighting, God willing. Anyway, thank you, and until next week, Shalom.